Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we have been reading a marvelous psalm that David wrote when he brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that he made for it in Zion. And in this series that we've been preaching a lot about God, the God of praise, the God to seek, the God of Israel. And that's just in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 22. We see all of that. I mean, David has written a psalm here that absolutely brings great honor and glory to God Almighty. But we'll continue on with the psalm that he wrote because it's fabulous. Now we're going to look at verses 23 through 27 and notice the God of greatness, the great God, the God of greatness. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23 through 27, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place." Now, when you read that passage of Scripture, you know, in your normal reading, you might just blow right through all of that and keep going. But when you think about reading 1 Chronicles, you're going to read more names in this chapter than you probably will in any other chapter in the Bible. And it just goes on from porters and gatekeepers and singers and those that handle cymbals and those that handle psalteries and those that handle trumpets and those that are over oil and those that are over the camels and those that are over the cattle and those that are over the treasures in the house of the Lord and those who are the mighty men and all that stuff, you know. And I know God has all that in there for a reason. Like a friend of mine said, we're going to get a new name in glory, and your name is written in the book of life, and this book has life in it, so there are all the names. Well, it may very well be so, because there are an awful lot of names in 1 Chronicles, but it's refreshing when you hit chapter 16 to see this great psalm. Although by this time, if you've been reading through 1 Chronicles, you're kind of like, whew, I need to finish this chapter, and you might miss all the great things that are said about the God of greatness in these few verses that we've just read. So we're going to study those today. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 27, we notice that great is the Lord. Look at this in verse 25. "For great is the Lord," and he is great, and we believe that he's great. But today what we want to do is we want to talk specifically about his greatness as we find his greatness in this text. Notice the greatness of his restoration. The greatness of his restoration. He says here, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth." All the earth? Have you traveled around this world at all? Right now I can tell you this earth is not singing unto the Lord. Not much. Not like it's going to. Not like it's going to during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll hear a lot of song when you're traveling around this earth. You're going to hear a lot of popular music everywhere you go. And it's funny. Several years ago, I was in the Philippines. I was in a taxi cab, and I'm listening to Beatles songs that were written, back in the 60s. And you say, how in the world did that happen? That stuff, you know, they popularized it. And I mean, even though these guys don't all speak English, they listen to that music. It's all over everywhere. There's a lot of music going on. There's a lot of singing going on, but it's not unto the Lord. And it's certainly not all the earth. And the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the less singing to the Lord you're going to hear. But once the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he restores this earth, this whole earth is going to be singing unto the Lord. We're going to hear more about that as we study the rest of this psalm. But suffice it to say, the earth sings because God has restored the earth by the time Jesus Christ comes back. Look in Romans chapter 8, and I'll tell you, What the earth is doing now is not singing. What the earth is doing now is groaning. That's right, it's groaning. The creaks and groans, they call it seismic activity, but it results in earthquakes and volcanoes and all the things that were prophesied to happen before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, we're reading about being adopted as the sons of God, and verse 19, the Bible says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature..." Those are living, breathing things. "The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." That's you and me. When it's manifest that truly we are the children of God. Verse 20, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." In other words, when Jesus Christ comes back and it's evident that we are the sons of God, there's a bondage of corruption that is on the earth right now that is going to be liberated. Verse 22, Romans chapter 8, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Well, that's called the restoration. It's the restoration of the earth when creation no longer has to groan and travail in pain, when creation can sing to the greatness of God. And you know why? You know, you see some other passages of Scripture where it becomes evident that there is a freedom, a liberty from the bondage of corruption. I'll show you one of them. Isaiah chapter 11. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, and watch what happens. Verse 6, Isaiah 11. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child," that's a child that hasn't even been weaned yet, "shall play on the hole of the asp," that's a snake, "and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." Those snakes won't bite. "And it shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And buddy, when that day comes, the earth is going to sing unto the Lord. Why? Because he's great. He's great. The greatness of his restoration. I cannot wait until we see the greatness of his restoration. I want to see this earth. Listen, the places I've seen are beautiful, but they're still travailing. They're still groaning. I can't wait to see it when they're singing. Wow, that's going to be a sight. Notice, the great is the Lord, the greatness of his restoration, not only that, but the greatness of his salvation. The Bible says, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation." Well, you know what? The Lord's salvation truly is great, and you know that because of the great price that it cost him. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Well, you know, truly, the Bible says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That verse right there says, "God so loved the world," but did you know that the world is the enemy of God? "Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And yet, in the greatness of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, in the greatness of his love for us, the Bible says that he laid down his life. John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Wow. Wow. You understand, the earth, the people in it right now are the enemy of God. And yet he loved his enemies enough to die for us by the greatest sacrifice of all. He laid down his own life. And Romans chapter 10 says, regardless of the sin of your past, regardless of your nationality, regardless of your religious leaning, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You talk about a great God. The God of greatness is great in his restoration of the earth when it all comes to peace and sings, and in the greatness of his salvation, in that he made salvation available to you, regardless of what you've done, and to me, regardless of what I've done. How can we imagine such a great thing? All we can say is, great is the Lord. You know, great is the Lord. His greatness is shown in his restoration and his salvation. I'll tell you something else. The greatness of his gospel. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. You know what that is? That is international declaration of the glory of God and the marvelous works among all nations. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he told his disciples, he said, I want you to go into all nations and teach them. Go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. What did he say? Teach all nations. Teach all nations. Mark 16. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. All the world. That is a great God who has a gospel that goes all over the world. You say, will it reach all over the world? They tell me there are places where the gospel hasn't reached. You know, if it's not there yet, it will be. And if it's not there now, it was. Look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. Here we are, all the saints, redeemed to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Watch it. Out of every kindred, you see it? Out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. There are people saved, literally, out of every nation worldwide. You say, what about the closed countries? They've either had it or they're going to have it. Because that's Revelation 5:9, and they come from everywhere. Why? Because of the greatness of his gospel. It literally goes worldwide. Our psalm, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 27, says, Great is the Lord, in verse 25. And we've seen the greatness of his restoration, of his salvation, of his gospel, and now of his praise. Look at this. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Have you ever read the Psalms? There's 150 Psalms in there, and you know what they all do? They praise the Lord. Have you ever read your hymn book? We have a hymn book here. It has over 500 hymns in it. And they are all hymns written to praise one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God Almighty. Now, you know, people say, well, what about all these other religions of the earth? You don't see all these hymns of praise written about all these other gods of the earth. They don't have them. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has that. Why? Because he's the great God. The God of greatness has songs by the hundreds written about him. They tell me that when Fanny Crosby was alive, she wrote 8,000 hymns. You know who they were there to glorify? The Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the great God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And well, he is like no other God in the universe. But then we keep reading. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Watch it. He also is to be feared above all gods. Feared above all gods. Turn to Psalm 95 and look at verse 3. Psalm 95 and look at verse 3. The Bible says, The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. You know what he did? I'll tell you what he does. And I'm just going to give you a taste of it, because when you read your Bible, you'll see evidence of this throughout. One time, the Jews are fighting against the Philistines, and they take the Ark of the Lord down there to help them in the fight. And the Philistines, they take the Ark. And when they do, you know, the glory leaves Israel, Ichabod, and they're rejoicing for a little while until they are smitten with emerods, and they're like, man, we got to let this thing go. Well, during the time that they have the Ark there, they were so proud of it, they put it up in the house of their god, Dagon. And when they came in the next morning, in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. You know why? Because God's greater than that fish god of the Philistines. So they put him back up in his place again, and the next day, when they arose early on the morrow, 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both of the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. You know why that happened? I'll tell you why that happened. Because the Lord God is greater than the god of the Philistines. He's greater than Dagon. That was 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. He beats Dagon. And then I'll tell you something else. There was a time when Israel was halting between two opinions, and so Elijah shows up in 1 Kings chapter 17. And then there's a great showdown. And the great showdown in 1 Kings chapter 18 is whether Baal is God or whether the Lord is God. And Elijah says to him in verse 21, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So they had a big showdown there at Mount Carmel. And what they did is they set up two altars and they set up their sacrifices. And he says, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Well, Baal didn't answer, not all day long. Elijah doused the sacrifice of the altar, the wood of the altar, and the trench around the altar with water. And God answered by fire, and he licked up the water, and he consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the wood and everything. You know why? Because God wanted to show he is the great God. He's the God of greatness, not Baal. Not Baal. That was in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 21 through 39. And you want to remember that. You want to remember that when people are saying, oh, yeah, the God, you know, the God of Allah, this God of Islam. Yeah, he's the same. They're the same God. No. One is a great God, and the other one is a man-made God. Listen, our God, the God of this Bible, is the God to be feared. Feared above all gods. Dagon, Baal, Allah, you name it. Listen. The Antichrist is going to raise up an image in Revelation chapter 13, and he's going to command everybody in the world to worship that image, and if they don't, he's going to kill them. You know what God does? God comes back in the form of Jesus Christ, and he takes that Antichrist, and he takes that false prophet, and he takes that false God, and he throws them all in the lake of fire. That's right. And eventually he throws the devil in the lake of fire. That's right. You know why? Because he's to be feared above all gods. The God of greatness, his fear is great, and I commend you to the fear of God, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. Let me go on with this psalm. I mean, there's just so much in here. I'm loving every minute of it. Feared above all gods, verse 26, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. He, listen, great is the Lord. Why? Because of the greatness of his creation. That's right. The Lord made the heavens. Listen, the greatness of God's creation is so great that scientists who are not Christians won't believe it. Do you understand? When they look at all this and they say, oh, evolution did this and evolution did that, and it's been here billions of years and all that kind of thing, you know what it is? They're trying as men to come up with an explanation of something other than a supernatural event that brought about our existence. And so they have come up with all these very strange ideas in evolution to explain it. And you say, why are they doing that? Because they can't believe it. It is so great, they cannot believe it. They won't believe it. And yet, the Bible says, the Lord made the heavens. You see, just 6 days, boom, 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 and it's all done. And it's been running like clockwork ever since. And you say, what is that? That's greatness. because it is so great. They look at that and they say with men's minds and the lack of faith and the sight that they want to live by, there's no way. I love that. Richard Dawkins wrote a book called The God Delusion, and he says, if you took it as a matter of probability, the probability that we exist here by the science of natural processes is greater than the probability that we were created. I love that. You say, why? Because God is not a God of probabilities. God is a God of possibilities, and he's also a God of impossibilities. Those things that are impossible to men, they are possible with God. Nothing shall be impossible to God, including the creation. And that just goes to show you how great our Lord is. But that's not all. He goes on to say in verse 27 of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, glory and honor are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. In other words, he talks about the greatness of the Lord's glory and the greatness of the Lord's honor and the greatness of the Lord's strength and the greatness of the Lord's gladness in addition to all these other things we've already seen. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and look at verse 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and look at verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Do you understand? Do you understand? Our God is great. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. I love this. The Lord's glory is great. His greatness, his power, his glory, his victory, and his majesty. Listen, we serve the God of greatness. And he has great glory and deserves great glory. But that's not all. We also know of his greatness because of the greatness of his honor. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And look at verse 13. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, we've already seen here the saints from all over the world, literally. And notice what happens here. Well, look at verses 12 and 13. All these millions, hundreds of millions of angels around the throne are saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, here it is, and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, he said every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Let me tell you something. We serve the God of greatness, and we know his greatness by his honor. You see this? The elders around the throne and the hundreds of millions of angels around the throne, and the creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth and everything in the sea, all are saying to him, honor and glory and wisdom and blessing and riches and power. Why? Because he's so great. His great honor. And then David talks about the strength of our great Lord in verse 27. Well, you just go back and consider some of the things that we've recently studied concerning the Exodus. In Exodus chapter 13, you know how Israel got out of Egypt? You say, well, how'd they get out of Egypt? By the greatness of the strength of God. Exodus 13:14. It shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt and from the house of bondage. Had to get him out of there? By strength of hand. One hand, the hand of the Lord, and he got that whole nation out of there. Just by his hand, one hand, a one-handed deal. when the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to take the whole armor of God, May I tell you something? You have the strength of the Lord God with you in that. And you and I have absolutely nothing to worry about. If we are doing something the Lord wants us to do, He'll give us the strength to do it. He says, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." And let me tell you something. There is nobody in this universe that is as great in strength as our God. He is the God of greatness, and great is the Lord's strength. But let me show you something else. Gladness. Glory and honor in His presence, strength and gladness are in His place. Do you understand? This world wants to be happy, and it's not happy. And that's why it's coveting everything that it can get its hands on, and fighting in wars to destroy each other. But you know what the Bible tells me in Psalm 16:11? The Bible says, "That will show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And you know what David said? Strength and gladness are in His place. Well, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved, you know what happens? You are raised with Him and made to sit together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. You are then in His presence. And when you're in His presence, there is fullness of joy. When you're in His presence, there are pleasures forevermore. There are, as David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 27, gladness in His place. Oh, I'm telling you, we have a great, great God. The God of greatness. Great is the Lord, David said. And we've seen today the greatness of His restoration of the earth, the greatness of His salvation of men, the greatness of His gospel around the world, the greatness of His praise, the greatness of His fear, the greatness of His creation, the greatness of His glory, the greatness of His honor, the greatness of His strength, and the greatness of His gladness. There's no greater God in the universe. And you know you can know this God through Jesus Christ. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and get into that Bible, you get to know our great God. Hallelujah. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.